Welcome back to the Missing Pillar of Health podcast. This is your host, Emma Roman. Today we are talking about pesky pests in your home and ways that you can prevent them in the first place and possibly get rid of them if they've already become a problem as a first line of defense before reverting to conventional and toxic pesticides. Welcome to the Missing Pillar of Health podcast, the show that tackles the often misunderstood and underestimated topics related to toxins and their impact on our health and well-being. I'm your host, environmental engineer, mom of two, and founder of Green at Home, Emma Roman. My mission is to help you reduce toxins in your life without fear, judgment, or shame, so you can be more informed and empowered to take action on issues that matter to your health. The research is clear that toxic chemicals found in the products we use, food we eat, water we drink, and air we breathe are contributing to the rise of chronic illness, allergies, infertility, autoimmune disease, and more. The good news is you can reduce your exposure without having to drastically change your lifestyle, and I'm here to show you how. As Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. I believe addressing toxins is a critical step towards creating healthier and happier families, communities, and ultimately a better planet. And that starts right here, right now. Let's dive into today's show. All right, so we're going to be focusing on specific pests that are pretty common. And I want you to think about these and why I think it's important to reduce pesticide use in the home in general is, you know, a lot of people focus on organic food as a way to reduce pesticides. But if you're spraying your lawn, which is a whole other topic, I'm not going to talk about landscape pesticides, but if you're spraying your garden and your lawn and constantly doing preventative spraying for pests around your home, these can enter your house and can pose a much more significant exposure than anything you might be exposed to on conventionally grown produce, for example. And I think that's something that we can easily forget. So just because products are sold in hardware stores and touted as being safe, household pesticides are still pesticides, and they are often not overly safe chemicals to be exposed to on a regular basis, particularly if you have young children. So I will walk you through some ways that you can hopefully avoid using them as much as possible. That being said, there might be instances where you will need to use conventional products, and that's okay. You know, there are ways to mitigate your exposure. If you do need to go with conventional, then doing what you can to be out of the space, good ventilation, protecting areas that don't need to come in contact with pesticides so they don't linger and stay around in your homes. All of those things can be done. If you do need to apply them, then you can look at ways that you can reduce your exposure. But I'm going to focus this one on ways that you can hopefully avoid or at least reduce the frequency with which you might need to use conventional products. So the pests that I'm going to be focusing on are things like ants, cockroaches, dust mites, carpet beetles, and silverfish, because these are your kind of average run-of-the-mill insect pests, and they have some repeat strategies that can help address all of them. A little background on each of these, because I think context is always helpful. Ants, they communicate and organize themselves quite sophisticatedly for such tiny little insects with next to no space for a brain. And they do this by leaving a trail of pheromones as they move around. And this is how they can stay organized, and colonies can follow each other and get food and bring it back to the nest. And that's also why natural deterrents can be quite effective, because there are several options that confuse them simply with a strong smell. And this won't kill them, but it could help prevent a colony from invading your home because they can't stay as organized to find a food source. So those are the sorts of tips that I'll give. Now, when it comes to ants, the strategies that I'm giving, they might work on carpenter ants, but I am not going to suggest that you just try natural strategies without making sure that you get professional insights into any carpenter ant infestations that you might have, because they can pose a very serious structural issue for your home. So make sure that you do get carpenter ants looked at by a professional, because you might need to take more fast and drastic action depending on the risk they pose. Cockroaches are pretty common in urban environments in particular. If you're in shared housing, like an apartment or condo or townhouse, managing cockroaches will likely require a team effort between you, your landlord, building management, and your neighbors, because they are hefty, crafty little pests. With cockroaches, you really do need to kill them, not just deter them or distract them like I talked about with ants. And there are different cockroaches. The ones that are going to be most problematic for most people who have them are ones that can only live indoors. And so there is no getting them to go outside and go away, because they will not. They only live indoors. So the only option is to kill them. Dust mites, they are really, really tiny bugs. They're pretty much microscopic. They do not bite, but for some people, they can pose an allergy problem. They can exacerbate asthma symptoms. And this is caused by inhaling the proteins from dust mite feces, urine, or decaying bodies. I know, disgusting. Don't shoot the messenger. And if you have a dust allergy, many of these are actually dust mite allergies. And so a lot of the strategies to reduce dust mites are actually ways to reduce dust. And these have a double whammy, because dust is full of not just disgusting body parts like I just talked about with dust mites, but dust is also a fairly concentrated source of pollutants, indoor air pollutants and toxics inside the home. Carpet beetles are another one that we dealt with in our old home. They're really annoying. They feed on natural fibers like rugs, clothing, carpeting, anything that's made of cotton or linen or silk or wool. If you notice holes in these, then carpet beetles might be to blame. And the way that you can tell if it's a moth problem or a carpet beetle problem is that moths tend to make small holes all over, whereas carpet beetles tend to make a single larger hole. Silverfish is another one that comes up a fair bit. They like dark, high humidity spaces, which is why they're often found in bathrooms and kitchens. So these are the ones that I'll be focusing on. And some of these strategies might work for other insect pests as well. It's worth giving it a shot or Googling to see if what I talk about might be applicable for whatever bug you might be dealing with. Now, pests are typically entering for one of two or three reasons: food, shelter, and in some cases, water. I don't think any of these strategies are 100% guaranteed or foolproof, but I am sharing ones that are more reputable and more proven, because there are thousands of suggestions on the internet. And so I want to start with ways that you can help prevent having a bug problem in the first place. And these are just general good practice to get into right from the beginning, even if you don't have a pest issue right now. The first would be making sure that you're sealing up any openings on the exterior of your home. And this is also something that I recommend for energy performance and maintaining a comfortable home. So dual purpose here. These would include cracks in your foundation, which can contribute to water damage. So again, lots of other reasons to do these things, not just pests. Around window frames, gaps between doors and the frames, and also check around your home for any drilled holes where wires or pipes or vents have been installed, maybe even removed and not sealed up. If you're pretty close to your neighbors, there might have been work done that maybe from a previous homeowner. If it's in a small space that's kind of hidden, make sure you're checking all of these areas around your home to make sure that you don't have any surprise openings. And these don't have to be very big for a lot of these pests to get into. So it might be worth adding sealant or caulking around even small cracks. Another strategy is to remove any food from boxed packaging before bringing it into the home. And I don't mean like cereal boxes. I mean like crates of tangerines, for example. So you want to unload those. If you can do it in the grocery store, actually, and just pop them in a produce bag, for example, when you're at the, after it's gone through the checkout, and then leave the box at the grocery store. Cockroaches have been known to hide in the cracks and folds in all of these things. Same if you're at a grocery store that doesn't do plastic bags, which is great, but if they offer repurposed boxes for groceries, try to bring your own bins instead of using those boxes because they can pose a problem. Another thing, if you are bringing things in and out of your, let's say, garage or storage space in your house that has been outside, make sure that you check and clean toys and furniture that may be outside before bringing them in to see if you've got any hitchhikers on them. Sweeping and vacuuming food off the floor regularly. You want to do this for a lot of different reasons. Probably don't want to be stepping on it, walking around your house all the time, stepping on food. I hate that personally. Wiping up spills, especially from sugary substances, quickly, ideally with a soap product so that you're getting that sugary stickiness up and off the floor and make it less appealing for bugs to come and eat. Making sure that you're storing food in cupboards and in sealed containers in cupboards. You can repurpose mason jars. You can go to the store and buy, you know, glass containers to seal it up, whatever the case might be, but making sure that you're closing up food packages and you're keeping them in cupboards wherever possible. If you don't have much cupboard space and you need to store stuff on counters, then getting containers that you could seal and putting stuff in like cereal or oats or what have you. Then that can help prevent pests from getting in. And decluttering. These can make really easy hiding places for bugs and even serve as food if you've got like old boxes and papers and stuff in your basement or just lots of clutter lying around. It's also harder to dust when you've got lots of clutter. So if you've got a pest problem, or you're just looking for another reason to go through and do a big declutter, this would be one thing that you could work on or at least chip away at, depending on the state of your home. All right, so those are some kind of general things that I think are recommended just as regular part of your routine, regardless of your pest situation. If you have a pest problem, then there are things that you might want to do to up the ante to help get rid of them. And I'm going to talk about more habits and actions first, and then I'll talk about things that you can have on hand to help deter or kill the bugs more as product-based. So as I mentioned, cleaning and dusting, the first step, particularly for things that are looking for food like cockroaches and ants, you're going to want to do a deep clean, particularly for cockroaches, in all corners, under furniture, appliances, in cupboards, literally everywhere, unfortunately. Focusing on areas, if you see cockroaches and you catch them early enough, they're not all over the place, but they are really not picky when it comes to food sources. And the more you have for them to eat, the more they will stick around. Reducing humidity is another strategy. And this is another one that can have many benefits because humidity plays a role in a number of issues when it comes to creating a healthier home. And you want to try to maintain a relative humidity of about 50%, which balances kind of all the different factors because some of them recommend low humidity, some of them recommend high humidity. So there's, you know, lots of competing interests, but around 50% is a decent balance. And you want to err on the side of lower when dealing with things like dust mites and silverfish. Reducing soft surfaces. This is one reason why I do not suggest wall-to-wall carpeting and why I recommend minimizing carpets and rugs in general, because they can be a haven for pests. Treating your bed and thoroughly vacuuming your mattress, including the bed underneath, if you've got a slat-based bed or you've got a headboard or a footboard, and you want to be using a vacuum cleaner with a HEPA filter. For dust mites, you can also encase your mattress in a dust mite-proof mattress cover. For some bugs like dust mites, you may need to deal with your pillows as well. So if they are washable, washing them in hot water, 130 degrees will kill dust mites. And then you can also slip your pillows into a dust mite proof pillowcase as well. For carpet beetles and dust mites, you might need to wash your curtains as well. And don't forget about your blankets and your sheets. If you do this in hot water for about once a week or so, then that can help keep those sorts of pest populations down. I can't say this enough. Dusting and vacuuming often. You know, I said your mattress, but also your floors. You might need to do this to your drapes if you've got a lot of curtains, and dusting with a damp cloth to help get up dust again, because dust mites can trigger allergies and it's related to dust itself. Dusting can be important too. And finally, furnace filters and air purifiers. So you'll want to include a high efficiency furnace filter that is rated for dust and allergies and change it regularly. Check it at least monthly, especially if you are switching from a lower efficiency filter. High efficiency filters are going to get clogged much more quickly. So if you are not used to having a high efficiency one and you're not sure how long it takes for it to get dirty, check it monthly and then you can go from there to see how frequently you actually need to change it. If allergies are more severe, then you could consider putting an air purifier in your bedroom that is rated for dust removal. An air purifier isn't going to solve the bug issue necessarily, but it can help if you're dealing with dust mite allergies, for example. And I do have an air purifier guide. You can check it out at greenathome.ca/air purifier, and I'll drop that link in the show notes. All right, so those are more habit-based strategies. And the next thing I want to walk through are some things that you can have on hand to deter pests. And these should be used while you implement the longer-term prevention strategies. Now, even though these solutions are healthier alternatives to conventional pesticides, please treat them like you would any other household chemical. Now, some of them are like full-on food products. And so, you know, use your common sense. But for a lot of these, I still recommend keeping them away from children and pets. So number one is mint. You can try planting it around the perimeter of your home if you've got garden beds, or using a mint essential oil in certain problem areas. And it can be used to deter ants because it does have quite a strong scent. Before you put essential oil on any surfaces in your home, either spot check it or maybe put the essential oil in a container or on some other surface. That doesn't matter if the oil stains it or ruins it. Vinegar can be used either straight or in a kind of 50-50 mix with water in a spray bottle, and you can spray it around windowsills and doorways and other places where you see ants coming inside. Now, this is really not a long-term solution. The smell is going to dissipate really quickly. But if you can see where they are coming in, it might be a way to confuse them long enough while you work on some other strategies, maybe to seal up cracks or something like that. You can also pour it into an ant's nest and use boiling water to confuse them. It's not necessarily going to kill all of them, but you can do that as well. It sounds kind of cruel, I know. For carpet beetles, you can also use vinegar to clean up counters and shelves and drawers, etc. Spot test before you clean a surface to make sure that it doesn't ruin it again. Lemon juice can be used similar to vinegar for ants. You can do one part lemon juice to three parts water, again, in a spray bottle. And the smell is not going to last forever, so you can use that the same way that I mentioned for vinegar. Other strong smelling things, cinnamon, cayenne pepper, black pepper, you can sprinkle it around on pest path or create a bit of a wall to keep them from entering your home. Again, fairly short-term solution until you can get those cracks sealed up if possible. Soapy water also works on ants, like hand soap, detergent, anything, because it may help remove the scent of pheromones. So you could do a bit of a spray that way. Cedar is another thing to have on hand. It works for carpet beetles and moths. So if you have off-season clothes stored in your closet or in containers, if you put a piece of cedar board, then that can help deter pests from eating your clothes. You can also add cedar to dresser drawers. Silverfish also don't like the smell, and so you can put a piece of cedar planking in places that are usually infected by silverfish, like floorboard cracks and crevices under sinks or in other dark and damp places. They also don't like the smell of cloves, so you could put a piece of clove in those same sorts of areas. When you're putting things in areas around your home, I do recommend that you keep them somewhat contained and maybe make a note of where you are putting them, especially if it's something like cloves, so that you know to at some point go and remove them. Baking soda is something that has so many wonderful purposes. It can be used to kill cockroaches when roaches eat baking soda and then drink water. It forms a gas in their stomachs, which ends up not ending too well for them. And so the issue is that they don't like the taste of baking soda. So you'll need to combine it with a little sugar. And some tips also say to add some diced onions because they have a really strong smell that will attract the roaches. So you can put that in a shallow dish where you've seen cockroach activity and let them eat the baking soda sugary mix. And then they should start dying off. Borax can also be used in a similar way. Only use this where it can't be inhaled or ingested by pets or humans. You'll want to combine, again, borax with sugar. You can do it in about equal parts and put it where you've seen cockroach activity. If you want, you can add some baking soda for a little extra punch. Make sure that you vacuum it up thoroughly when you are done with it. You can also make borax balls by mixing it with some peanut butter, for example, as more of a kind of bait snack for them. And then it's less messy too. You don't have these patches of powder everywhere, which makes it pretty easy to get airborne. And then of the, I would say, better strategy, but still more conventional, things like self-contained ant traps, sticky traps, and gel baits, I would say before going to a full-on spray or fumigation strategy, these conventional strategies aren't going to be as harmful. Sticky traps are what they sound like. They're sometimes used for roaches. You will have to check them and discard them as they get used. You can also use those for flies. You know, they fly into them and get stuck on the sticky paper. Gel bait uses more conventional chemicals, but they do stay fairly contained. And if it's applied in an area that's out of reach, they're not a significant risk to indoor air quality. Again, just make sure that kids and pets can't get at them. And I think ant traps are fairly contained, but still use them in areas that aren't reachable, particularly by toddlers or pets. But those can be a decent option if you've got, you know, ants coming in under a stove or something like that. And I think I forgot to mention that the borax and sugar combo also works with ants too. But again, make sure that you're putting it somewhere that it can't get airborne or accessed by tiny little humans running around your house or pets. So something that I've done when I had ants in my old kitchen that were coming in my kitchen from under my stove. So we pulled the drawer out from under the stove and did a borax and sugar barrier wall almost kind of halfway in under the stove and let that do its thing and then vacuumed up the powder. So that's another strategy that you can give a shot. I hope you found that helpful. And again, all of those kind of quote unquote natural or less toxic strategies to help get rid of pests, they aren't going to do anything if you don't make a concerted effort on the preventative strategies that I talked about in the beginning. You really will need to work. And if you already have a pest problem, you'll have to work harder. So do take stock of your routines and habits and see if there are some things that you can add in so that you can hopefully prevent getting a pest infestation in the first place. Until next time, have a great one. Wait, before you go, I have a quick favor to ask. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts and like what you've heard, please take a moment to hit subscribe and leave a 5-star rating and a written review. You can do it right from the app. It takes just a sec and really helps me to be able to continue to share this important information with more people. Plus, you might just get a shout out on a future episode. Thanks so much and bye for now.